Hi there! Welcome to Textures, a podcast about art, design, and entrepreneurship. My name is Valérie Legras. In each episode, I meet with an artist, designer, creator, innovator, individuals who add textures to our world. We discuss how they are able to make it happen. Join me in discovering their world, their work, and how they go about living and leading a life that inspires themselves and others. Today, I have the pleasure to host Shannon Campanaro, founder and creative director of a New York-based fabric studio, SKL. I'm always looking for innovative and creative products for our project, and I first talked with Nick, Shannon's husband, as I wanted to have more information about SKL. I was so inspired by the creativity and philosophy behind the company that I asked Shannon to be my guest on Texture Podcast. Initially, Shannon Campanaro was engaged in graphic and fashion design, but interiors were always in her mind. Her style is very fresh, unique, and somehow brings calmness. The creative process at SKL starts with a brushstroke, as 99% of the work pattern is coming from Shannon's painting, from her canvas to a finished product. Through the years, SKL came up with an extensive line including fabric, wall covering, home linen, accessories, hand-tied rugs, furnishing, tile, and much more. Started 12 years ago, SKL always remain extremely environmentally conscious in the way they manufacture their product using water-based pigment ink, producing locally as much as possible, and using sustainable material such as natural linen and organic cottons. Let's learn about the story behind SKL.
Hi, Shannon. Thank you for having me today. I really wanted to interview you because your story is pretty amazing. You were an artist and you're now a big entrepreneur. And I wanted to know how you started your company and if it was voluntary or if you just get out of your canvas and naturally expand to product.
Well, I do have a fine art degree, and after I graduated, I went to Central St. Martin's to study fine art in London, and after I graduated, I moved to New York, and I guess I was bartending for a while doing paintings, and I was putting on some like charitable exhibitions with one of my best friends to support environmental charities, and I was doing paintings and then also designing sort of like patterned wallpapers to go behind the paintings for the exhibition. And I learned how to do that because I was also doing graphic design and graphics for fashion, because I guess I segued into graphic design because that was the easiest way to make a living after art school. So I was doing graphic design and fashion graphics for about 5 years maybe before I started SKL. And I started SKL kind of on a whim. I just had been doing those backgrounds for my exhibitions, and then I found a printer to print wallpaper, and I made some wallpaper for my house. And after a few years, I decided that I would try to make a wallpaper line on my own. Just because
you were taking your own painting and just give it to a printer, and how did you figure out how to do all the repeats? I mean, because making
I figured out just because I was doing graphics. I was doing a lot of graphic design, so I was creating repeats for graphic design, and I was making patterns like for my exhibitions already, all from, I guess, from my artwork. Yes, I was making patterns from my artwork for my exhibitions, and I was also making other kinds of patterns like for flyers and any kind of like graphic design that I was doing. I was using pattern a lot.
Okay.
And I was doing some fashion too, so I was using pattern there. So I knew how to make patterns through my experience doing graphics and from what I was doing for my exhibitions. I was kind of using pattern, but not on wallpaper. And then eventually I decided to make one wallpaper just for my house because I had a painting that had like two striped areas on it. And I thought if it repeated, it would be like a cool stripe. So I made that and then didn't think about wallpaper for at least 2 years. And then I decided that I would try to start my own wallpaper.
You decided because you had some requests or you thought it was...
I didn't have any requests, but a lot of people liked the wallpaper I made and I still liked it. So I thought this could be a cool thing to do. And I had a full-time job that I had been at for about 4 years. And I turned 30 and I needed to... stop. I needed to do my own thing or try to figure out my own thing.
And so within all, in the 2 years you did your wallpaper for your house and you finally decided to do wallpaper as a living, did you collect new paintings and you make a selection? How did you start it, with a small line, a bigger line? How many lines did you start it with?
I started with one collection. And I showed it at the Brooklyn Designs Fair. And that was like it used to be a juried trade show that you had to apply to get into. So I just made one collection, which had, I think it had like five patterns with a couple different colorways each that I used for my application. Maybe it had like six patterns.
Okay.
And then once I got in, then I realized I had to get like a business license and get organized.
Other things that are not very fun.
I didn't do much. I just got like a sole proprietorship license at the courthouse, I guess. I mean, I still had my full-time job. So I made a website. And then I made another collection before the show actually happened, because that was like the end of 2008 when I applied, and then the show was in May of 2009. So then at the show, I showed like two small collections.
And so that was a good way for you to get out of, in the world? You've been there?
Yeah, that was the only way for me to get out in the world, honestly. I had no idea about the industry. I didn't really know much about wallpaper. Kind of didn't really know what I was doing, but I figured it out pretty quick.
So who came to you, professionals or individual? How did it start?
Our business has always been primarily to interior designers. But one of my first clients was a girl who had a PR company, and she got some wallpaper for her office. And then I met her. She's a really good friend of mine now. But anyway, I ended up hiring her to do our PR.
And at the early stage of your business, so.
Yeah, I got PR really early because I really didn't know how people would find out about me. And I also didn't have much time to really work on that side of things because I still had my full-time job.
Oh, yeah. And so after you did, you mentioned your... mostly direct to the trade only and not to consumer. Is it something you had to choose early on, or is that something that just happened like that?
Well, when I started my company back in 2008, wallpaper was not very popular, actually. Mm-hmm. There wasn't very many niche wallpaper brands out there. I obviously didn't really know that. Or think about it when I started the company, but
otherwise you would have not done it, maybe.
People would say things to me like, oh, do people still use wallpaper and things like that, which is funny because today now it's really popular and there's so many niche wallpaper brands. Wallpaper has come back with a vengeance, but like when I did Brooklyn Designs, the only other, there was Flavor Paper, Flavor Paper.
Yes.
They were there and they had just kind of started, and there was like two other girls who had small companies. So it was like kind of at the very beginning of this sort of massive wave of artisanal wallpaper brands. So I think that, the shows that we did and then people who featured us are all targeted towards interior designers. I don't think that many people were going out wallpapering their own homes back then, they were in the 80s. Maybe in the 80s, I remember my parents wallpapered their own home. Yeah, it just really wasn't popular. So interior designers were the only people who were really like forward thinking. I mean, we've always had some consumer clients and we have a lot more now than we used to, but we still sell primarily to the trade because I think designers are the ones who have like more of the vision to figure out what, like how.
And so Ben, I was talking with your husband the other day and he said that you did, for years you went to ICFF and it was a good way for you to take off as well.
Yeah, we did Brooklyn Designs the first 2 years, 2009, 2010, and then in 2011 we started doing ICFF, and we did that through 2017 maybe. We did it seven times. Yeah, we did that. We did the Architectural Digest show a few times. We helped produce a show last year and the year before called Next Level, which we did. We showed in Milan last year.
And so you don't sell through showrooms, correct? All the sale goes through you.
No, I have a few showrooms. We have Studio 4 in New York City. We have Walnut Wallpaper in LA. We have Supply in Austin, and we have Y&Co in Toronto. But yeah, the bulk of our business is sold through us.
Yeah,
we have our own showroom in Brooklyn.
Okay. And so you continue to produce more wallpaper, and then you went into different product. And I don't know the order. I don't know how it came. You know, the fabric, the rugs. Then not long ago, the tile. So how did all this thing unfolded?
Well, we only make fabric and rugs, but I have had some licenses. Like I have a bedding license with ABC. I have a tile license with Clay Tile. Rugs started out as a license with Dorsey Blau, but now we make them ourselves. But we do have a rug license in Canada with a company called LT. But us, we only make, first we started with wallpaper, then a couple years later we introduced fabric, and then a couple years later we got a rug license, and then about 4 maybe 5 years ago we started making our own rugs.
And there's a lot of customization on your rugs, huh? Your husband spoke to me and it was, I mean, I really didn't know much, but it was pretty impressive all the detail that can be you can take into consideration when you look at your rug line.
Yeah, I mean, well, we make all our rugs pretty much to order. We're not really selling stock rugs. So yeah, customization is easy.
And where do you produce your rug?
In Nepal.
In Nepal. So you go there and you select the makers, you select the color bears. How do you transfer from your painting? Because I believe that it's still always your... But the inspiration always comes from your painting.
Yeah.
What does it translate when you turn that into a rug or into fabric?
Well, fabric and rugs are different. With wallpaper and fabric, we scan the artwork in and it's all digitally printed so we work on the repeats and the colorways like in Photoshop, and then and then they're digitally printed. So wallpaper and fabric is like a very straightforward reproduction procedure. But rugs is different. We create the artwork from a painting, and then it's kind of complicated. We have to draw like a kind of a paint by numbers kind of math that's very simple over the rug in the computer to decide and designate where we want certain colors or techniques or weaves. So basically we have to simplify the artwork into a more simple sort of map for the weavers. And we do that here in our studio. We don't have to go there to do it. And then we have to choose and specify like the colors, which there can be up to 3 colors per knot for each area, and we have to choose the dye techniques. There can be up to 3 dye techniques.
Yeah, I mean that's a lot of things to take into consideration. So did you use an existing rug company that guide you into the process, or you just decided on your own but you wanted to do rugs, which...
Well, I had a rug license with Doris Leslie Blau, so I had a licensing. I had a license with a company that was making my rugs, so I learned a lot when I was working with them. I mean, they didn't do things exactly the way I do things, but I learned a lot from working with them, and then I learned basically how they were translating my designs into new rugs, and I worked with a lot of clients through them on custom rugs and changing the colors, and so I learned a lot from that license, and then I learned a lot from my factory as well, from going to my factory and having them show me like what the different dye techniques are and different weaves and different materials and things like that. I learned a lot of that stuff from my factory.
And you're talking about the way you dye the wool, or you know, the dyeing techniques. What techniques do you mention here? Because I don't
know. There's lots of different ones, but like one that we use a lot is called a brush, and it's like where you dye the yarn for a little bit less time than usual so that it doesn't seep completely through the fiber. And then after you weave it and then when you're cutting it, there's a little more variation. It's not like super solid. And then there's also like striation, where you can like specify that you want like 25% to be one color and 25% to be another color and 25% to be another color and 25% to be another color, and then you have like a four color like space dye, and then when they're weaving it, random colors will come up in that section. And there's also like stippling, there's also like percentage where you can have them weave like a kind of like a heathered fiber, where you say before they even spin the wool, you want like 5% black and 95% white, and then you'll get like a white yarn that has some black spots in it. There's so many things I don't know too.
Yeah, that's a lot to take into consideration. Very different from wallpaper indeed, and very different than fabric. Now, speaking of, you know, when you mentioned the dyeing process, I do believe that I think this is really important to you, the sustainability in your work, using the right material, using the right pigment colors. Can you speak about it, how important and how it impacts your work on an everyday basis?
Yeah, we just basically, like, we don't, like, vinyl is a big issue in the wallpaper industry, and we don't use any vinyl, we don't use any inks that are off gas or have VOCs. It's important to me, A, that, like, what we're putting in people's homes isn't going to harm them, and then the second thing that's important is that we're not, that we're not creating waste. So it's important that we're creating something that lasts and that has durability and isn't just a throwaway product, something people can have in their homes for a long time. And it's important to create something that's natural. And we also produce everything locally. And the way we make a lot of our wallpaper creates less waste, because we do custom panels. Stuff like that. It's really important to me not to make something that's just going to contribute to waste or that's going to be harmful for the environment.
So customization for the wallpaper, is that something that not as many companies doing it, and it's something that came down the road for you and that became obvious?
So a lot of traditional wallpaper is screen printed, so a lot of wallpaper is screen printed, and then there's stock of it. Since we make everything to order and it's digitally printed, it's pretty easy for us to customize the color. We do color customization all the time. I like doing custom stuff. It's fun.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. So you are still painting on a daily basis, or you are... you're more on business side now, you're more creatively on developing lines. How often do you use your brush and just go back to the drawing table?
Lately I've been painting kind of a lot because I've been getting a lot of custom commissions, but not every day. Usually I'm pretty fast at painting too, so usually I'll spend a couple days or maybe a week painting for a project, but then a lot of that work happens on the computer, like assembling things into print ready format or changing the colors. But I spend a lot of time on the business too. I basically manage the sales and marketing team and the creative team. I kind of manage everybody, but I only have about, I don't have like a huge team. So we all work really closely together, but I manage all the finances. Nick sort of handle, and we have two people, Nick and somebody else handling the sales, and Nick does the bookkeeping, but I handle like the financials and the direction of the business. And I have like a marketing consultant and a creative director consultant who helps with like collateral and marketing initiatives. But I like running the business too. I mean, that's enjoyable for me. I've always wanted to figure out, you know, how to run a business well. I like that too.
Yeah. And so your husband joined you. You mentioned Nick is your husband. He joined you at an early stage of business, I do believe.
Well, he was around for the very beginning, and I had a full-time job, and he had a sort of more of a freelance music business. So he just happened to be available to help me do some things that I couldn't do. So he helped me a lot out of the goodness of his heart in the beginning, a lot. But eventually he decided that he wanted to work for SKL full time. So he came on full time pretty early on. Maybe 2 years in, 3 years in? I think it was like 3 years in that he was like finally full time. So it's been like 8 years.
And so the, you know, as a business owner, it's always a ups and down. What was the up in your career? Being an entrepreneur and an artist, and you're down?
I don't really consider anything really like a down. I think that there's always times when you learn things and you decide not to do them and do something else. But, and I don't really know about ups either. I mean, for me, it's kind of like this. Like a
beginning up.
It's beginning is down and the end is up. I don't know. I don't know why, but for me, it doesn't feel like a lot of ups and downs. I guess there's a few high points, like when we got our showroom and moved the studio out of our loft. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So when was that?
15. Maybe 2015. Yeah.
Yeah. Did it make a big change for you? I mean, of course, having a space dedicated to your business, but for exposure, was good for you in terms of having more. Designer visiting you, having the exposure was different?
Yeah, I think it's different. A lot of people though came to our other, when it was in our loft, we got a really big, really nice loft that used to be an architect's office. So we got it for the purpose of expanding our office, which had been even smaller in our earlier apartments. We had that for 2 or 3 years and it was really nice and people still came there. And this one's only 2 blocks away. It's nice that we can have events. We've been able to have like a lot of events at the showroom, which I think is really nice. We couldn't really do that in our loft.
Okay.
And we're on the ground floor, which is nice.
Nice, yeah.
We're actually expanding our space. We just got that basement, so we're working on that this year.
Wow, so how many square foot do you have?
I think the top is 900. And I think the bottom is probably 800.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's good. All right, so I'm just coming back to your product. So you have a license agreement with the clay tile. So, I mean, it really works super well together. How did it happen? How did you find each other? And how did you reach to this collaboration?
I actually reached out to Clay Tile really early on, like maybe, let's see, our collaboration came out last year, I guess, probably like 4 or 5 years, or maybe 4 years before the collaboration came out. I reached out to them and like asked them if they'd be interested in working with me, and Deborah, the owner, she said she would be interested in working with me, but that they were just too, like, busy with other collaborations, and they were just like too overextended. They actually were a lot smaller than I thought they were when I first reached out to them. They've grown a lot since then. Mm-hmm. But she was just like, I can't do it right now. And then, I don't know, we kept in touch over the years. And then finally, they were like, we're ready to do this with you. And we want to do it pretty big and do it really well. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then it took another, like, at least 2 years to develop everything.
Why it takes so long to develop everything when you do a...
I don't think that it does take that long. I think the first year we were working together and I created the designs and they had a lot of infrastructure change and a lot of, I don't know. I think they just had some internal things going on and they couldn't focus on it.
Yeah.
But then suddenly they were like, okay, we're ready to do this. And then it took like about a year, I think, to develop the samples. And then it took another like, maybe it's like 6 months to like launch everything because we need to get the samples and photograph them and get everything online. So it took a really long time, but I'm really happy with it. I love with child books.
Yeah, you like collaboration like that? I mean, do you want to do more collaboration in future, whether it's, you know, tied or other material?
Yeah, I'd love to do more collaboration. I think they have to be... It's good to have like the right partners when you're doing collaborations, people who you get along with and you see eye to eye with. I have a really cool rug collaboration in Canada where they're doing rugs completely different than I am, and they've gone really big with it and put a lot of effort into it. So I'm loving that one. I would love, what I really want to do is an outdoor fabric collaboration.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's becoming big, the outdoor fabric, because a lot of people are using it even indoor. Also people who has children or dogs or, you know, pets, they love to use, as designer, we like to use outdoor fabric. It's more resistant.
Yeah, I would love to do that. So I don't really have the capabilities to produce on my own. So that would be a really cool collaboration.
So what's next for Eskayen?
Well, we're doing a show next weekend called Shop Objects, and we're releasing a small new collection that's based on some traditional ikats that I had hand woven in Sumba in Indonesia. And then I'm also releasing like a new mural that's based on a painting of some abstract paintings I did of the like white cities up in the south of Puglia in Italy. There's some rugs to go along with that, a new rug and some new like organic cotton flat weave. So that, I'm excited about that.
Flat weave is another era in terms of fabrication.
Yeah, but flat weaves are easy. We do those with the same people we do the other rugs in Nepal. So they're not very complicated. And mostly for flat weaves, we do more simple design. Keep it like kind of casual.
Yeah.
But, and then after that, we have some, I don't know, we're going to be working on our basement. We have to do like a lot of kind of renovations and moving around the showroom. So that's what I'm most focused on. And I'm hoping that we'll finish it in time to do some kind of event in May during New York Design Week.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for your time. I know you're very busy and you're traveling a lot. So I really appreciate you. It went perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you to Shannon Campanaro for taking the time to discuss her journey. I hope you have enjoyed listening to our conversation. If you want to learn more about Eskayel and Shannon's work, visit her website at eskayel.com. You can also continue to follow along on Instagram at eskayel. This podcast is an ongoing creative conversation for anyone who looks around and sees the added texture in their world and wants to know more about who is doing it. Be sure to share textures with your friends and community. Find your preferred listening platform at valerielegras.com/podcast or listen to us on Spotify. Follow so you don't miss new episodes. Thank you for listening. À bientôt.